We're going to talk a little bit about what happened proposition-wise in the election with our friend, Attorney Don Luce of Luce Law Group with offices in Tucson and Phoenix, our legal contributor, and he's the author of two very popular books, Arizona Laws 101, A Handbook for Non-Lawyers, that might be a good stocking stuffer, and Estate Planning, which would also work in the stocking, Estate Planning in Arizona, What You Need to Know, both books in their second printing. Don, how are you? How was Thanksgiving for you?
It was wonderful, Bill. Thanks for asking. And it's great to be back.
You didn't say whenever I ask, people will say, I ate too much. But I guess that's
a given. But it goes without saying.
It's just a given. Anyway, how'd we do on that? There were 10 ballot measures, and I assumed that ballot measures usually go down. People, maybe that's not right.
No, ballot measures usually pass.
Wow.
But not at this rate. Mm. This year, we had 10 ballot measures, seven of which passed. Normally, it's about 50%. Mm-hmm. This year, we're at 70%. So a larger number of ballot measures passed this year than normally. But check this out. Mm-hmm. In the last 35 years, so from 1985 through 2020, there have been 168 measures placed on the ballot. 168.
What?
Yep. And of that, 52.98% passed. So 89 passed, 79 failed. But the point being, if a measure gets on the ballot, there's a better than 50-50 chance it will pass. This year, the rate was 70%, which is kind of extraordinary. Usually, it's not that much, but maybe it had to do with the substance of the measures that were on the ballot.
And there's always a lot of kind of blowback trying to get measures. Legislature seems like trying to not get citizen measures on the ballot.
Well, so in Arizona, as you know, there are basically four ways that laws are made. One is through the legislature. Everyone, I think, understands that process fairly well. Last year, actually last legislative session, I should say, and because we have a part-time legislature, it ended late spring, early summer. There were literally hundreds of bills that were sent to the governor for signature, and the governor signed hundreds of bills. So those are all new laws. Mm-hmm. Another way that laws are created is through the courts, right? And I think the most famous decision is Roe v. Wade. That was a court-made law in interpretation of the United States Constitution. The Arizona Supreme Court does the same thing here in Arizona, as does the Court of Appeals. And then you have administrative agencies that create laws. So the Arizona Department of Revenue, the Arizona Department of Environmental Quality, et cetera, they create laws, right? Administrative agencies. Mm-hmm. And then the fourth way is through the electoral process, where the citizens create laws. So the citizens of the state of Arizona made seven new laws on November 8th, which was Election Day. And as I said, there were 10 measures on the ballot, seven passed, three failed.
One of the big winners, and we spoke with Terry Goddard, the former Arizona Attorney General, that was Prop 209. Terry had worked so hard on that, like three different election cycles before he finally got it on the ballot. But that's that so-called banning dark money, and it was the big winner, 72% to 28%.
That proposition actually got the greatest number of votes on a percentage basis. Some of these propositions, whether they passed or they failed, it was really, really tight. I mean, within 1 or 2 points. But as you just mentioned, 209 was a landslide. It was 72%.
Another marquee measure was Prop 131. This will create, we will now join the vast majority of states, we will now have a lieutenant governor.
You know, I like this proposition because I think it makes sense to have a joint ticket for governor, lieutenant governor. In Arizona's history, on six separate occasions, the Secretary of State became governor And in some of those instances, the Secretary of State and the governor belong to different political parties. And so you might, for instance, have a Republican governor, a Democrat Secretary of State. The governor either retires, resigns, or dies. The Secretary of State becomes governor. And then you have essentially a new political party in the executive branch. The legislative branch remains the same, of course, because you don't replace any of the senators or legislators. So it kind of, in some cases, turns politics on its head in the state because of the difference of the political parties between the Secretary of State and the governor. In the next gubernatorial election, which will be in November of 2026, we're going to have a joint ticket. The candidate running for governor will have selected a person to run as lieutenant governor from the same party. So if you vote for, let's say you vote for a Democrat, the lieutenant governor is going to be on that ticket, and you'll have essentially two candidates that you're voting for instead of one.
That'd be the joint ticket then.
Yes. You mentioned that we're joining the majority of states by having a lieutenant governor.
Yeah.
45 states have lieutenant governors. Mm-hmm. Arizona is going to become the 46th state to have a lieutenant governor. So we were in the distinct minority by not having a lieutenant governor. And the voters, I think, this is my personal editorial, I think wisely chose to pass this proposal. It passed by 55%. So 55% voted in favor of creating a lieutenant governor, and 45% voted against it.
What else did you, what jumped out at you of those items that passed, the seven that passed?
Okay, so there was another proposal that garnered widespread support, in fact, as much as Prop 209, and that's Prop 211, which also got 72% of the vote. Under Prop 211,
Sure.
209 got 72%, as did Prop 211. Under 209, interest rates on medical debt cannot exceed 3%. So Prop 209 and 211 both got the most number of votes at 72%, were widely popular. And under 209, we're not going to be seeing high interest rate medical debt, which I think anecdotally pushed some people into bankruptcy, you know, because once you have debt, and this, I think in most cases, if not in all, is sort of like involuntary debt.
Of course.
And then you get charged a high rate of interest.
That could have gone to 20% in some cases.
Sometimes that interest rate alone makes it impossible to pay off the debt.
Exactly.
And so under this proposition, which, as I mentioned, passed by a wide margin, 3% is going to be the cap on medical debt. But the proposal does some other interesting things, also having to do sort of with money or finance. So your creditors cannot claim or take certain things from you. That's protected. One is your homestead. And it doesn't matter if judgments are entered against you, if you file bankruptcy, your homestead up to a certain dollar amount has always been protected. Before 209, the amount was $250,000 in equity. 209 raises that to $400,000.
Okay.
Not a double, but it's pretty close.
Yeah.
There are some other exemptions that also got raised. One is for household furnishings, which went from $6,000 to $15,000.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Another has to do with vehicle equity, which was increased from $6,000 to $15,000. Another had to do with the amount that you could keep in the bank without debtors attaching it, and that went from $300 to $5,000.
Wow.
So as you can see, the proposition not only capped at a fairly low interest rate the interest that could be charged on medical debt, mm-hmm. but it also increased substantially the amount of exempt property that a debtor can keep, whether that debtor has judgments against him or her or is in a bankruptcy situation.
Don, let's see if we can summarize the three that did not pass.
Right. So the first one failed by a pretty big margin.
Was that Prop 128?
It was.
About a 2-to-1 margin.
Yes.
Failing.
Yes.
Yeah.
64% of voters voted against 128, mm-hmm. which would have allowed the legislature to amend or repeal voter-approved ballot measures that contained certain provisions ruled unconstitutional by the Arizona Supreme Court or the U.S. Supreme Court. I'm not really sure that I didn't get the purpose of the proposal, but it didn't appeal to voters. Mm-hmm. And basically, 2 out of 3 voters said, no, mm-hmm. we're not going to pass that one. The next one that didn't pass was 309. But interestingly, if you do it strictly on a percentage for and percentage against, mm-hmm. it was 50-50.
Yeah, I see that.
1,201,000 for, 1,219,000 against.
Yep.
So the margin was less than 20,000 voters, mm-hmm. which is pretty interesting mm-hmm. and really close. Under 309, if it had passed, it would have required date of birth and voter identification for mail-in ballots and would have eliminated the 2-document alternative of photo ID for in-person voting. So you and I have talked about this on past occasions. It would have raised the bar for the identification required for voting. And as I said, that was pretty much evenly divided. Less than 20,000 votes decided that out of a total of about 2.4 million votes cast. The third one that failed to pass was Prop 310, which would have created a 0.1% sales tax for 20 years to fund fire districts. And that one failed by about 4 percentage points. 52% were opposed, 48% were in favor. The ballot measure failed.
It was such a small amount to fund these fire districts. But I think if you put create, two words kind of scares voters away, create tax.
Well, and that was kind of a common theme, I thought, in these 10 ballot measures that dealt with money. The ballot measures that protected consumers and essentially were allowed people more protections passed. The ones that increased taxes or would allow the legislature to change voter initiatives failed. So in that sense, maybe it was thematic. I'm not saying for sure, but that was the sort of the takeaway that I got from looking at the 10 ballot measures and looking at the ones that passed and the ones that failed.
One that did pass, and we're basically out of time, it was 132, requiring a 60% vote to pass ballot measures to approve taxes.
Isn't that interesting?
Yes.
So that passed by a slim margin, 51% to 49%, but nonetheless, it is now one of the 7 new laws that resulted from the November 8th election.
All right, Don Luce. Thank you, Don. Don Luce of the Luce Law Group, offices in Tucson and Phoenix. He's the author of 2 very popular books on Arizona Law. Arizona Laws 101, a handbook for non-lawyers and estate planning in Arizona, what you need to know, and everybody should be doing their estate planning. It's always very popular, Don, at the end of the year. It seems like the perfect time to do that estate planning.
You know what it is? It's the end of the year checklist. Let's get this done.
Let's do it. Hope you and your family have a wonderful holiday season.
Thanks, Bill, and the same to you.
All right. On behalf of Mr. Luce,